Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Valentine's Day. And we Catholics, we get to claim St. Valentine. He's one of ours, but not exactly sure what he has to do with Valentine's Day. I think we need Steve Ray to explain that to us. And as a matter of fact, we're going to talk about married love this hour and loving your spouse this hour with Steve Ray, and all in the context of St. Valentine's Day. Steve Ray, you know him because he leads pilgrimages all around the world. You might have done a pilgrimage with him, maybe it's most especially to the Holy Land, where he just... Steve Ray knows that Holy Land, and he knows everybody there, and he gets you in to see the stuff that you can't see with anybody else, and everybody always comes back raving about Steve Ray's Holy Land pilgrimages. He's also the author of a whole bunch of books, and he made the video series In the Footsteps of God. Steve Ray, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Cy. Good to be here with you, and
I'm only
happy to... But my wife said I could come on Valentine's evening. She gave gave you...
That's right. It's evening
when you're Valentine's tonight. I'm supposed to be with my wife.
Yeah, you are. You are.
But I'm with you instead.
Yeah, but I'm kind of an amateur compared to you. 27 years married, and talking to a guy 47 years married. Come on.
Yeah.
Good for you.
47 years, best thing I ever did in my life.
Married her. I know.
My mother said, my mom's 100 years old now, and she says that. Janet's the only woman in the world that would have married me. And if she didn't marry me, I'd have spent my life in prison.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks for the vote of confidence, Mom.
Well, she knew me growing up. That's why she said that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't know that young people get it, that this marrying someone and staying with them for your whole life. Look, there's going to be ups and downs. It's going to get really hard sometimes. In some cases, it's going to be like being crucified. It's going to be so hard. But what you have after you go through so many of those things is the most wonderful gift you could have.
It is. I and my wife were talking just the other day about how our relationship and our marriage is the most precious thing. And I said, you know, we had our ups and downs and our rough times and so on, and we just always put each other first and put the Lord first. And it's nice to say, I said to her the other day, if you ever got in a car accident and you were paralyzed from your neck down, it would be an honor for me to push you around in a wheelchair the rest of your life. And I would. And yeah. She said, I would for you too, Steve. Now, where else are you going to find that kind of a commitment? And to me, that married love, yeah, it's great when you're, you know, you're healthy and strong and everything, but this is a commitment for life, and that is an invaluable gift to have somebody that you are committed to life like. Now, I know that as we're talking today, Cy, that I'm going to talk about probably our marriage and answer a lot of questions, but I know that not everybody is happily married, and I know a lot of people have been divorced, or their spouse has died, or they're living in a miserable situation, maybe an abusive thing. And I want to start out by saying that I am very sympathetic to those folks. We'll try to answer any questions related to that, although that's not my specialty because I've had a great marriage. But I'm not trying to rub it in, you know, while I'm talking with you today, because I understand the agony and the grief that a lot of people have gone through. And I have friends who have lost their spouses and had reasons why they had to separate. But I commiserate with them, and yeah, I understand them as we go along. I just want to make that as a kind of to clarify that ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah, it's a fine line you have to walk, because that is all true, but you really do want to, I think we all want to, encourage young people, because they're so paralyzed with fear about marriage. It's not unrealistic. It can be done, and it's the rewards are worth it.
Yes. Today, the culture says don't get married. Just live with someone. Then if you don't like them, you can leave and find somebody else. Trade them in on a newer model.
Right.
You know, that's really what happens. And who's the winner in a game like that? The man is the winner, because he's always going to find – he's got. Usually they get money and they get status as they go along. They're going to find a younger girl. Now, women don't always have that option. And in that sex game – especially the one where you don't get married, but you just keep changing partners. The older man is usually the winner in the game, because he's got status and money, and the young girls, older women, they don't get the same they don't get the same benefits. So it's the, no. the lies that are out there today. My point is the lies that are out there today, that it's all about sex and just don't commit yourself. Just keep, put yourself first, live with someone. Don't commit yourself. Use contraceptives. You don't want to get pregnant, because if you get pregnant, it's going to tie you down and then you're stuck with that guy. And it's a lie. It really
sure
is. Now, it's not a good idea to get into a marriage with somebody that's you're not compatible with. But my wife was 19. I was 21. And we got married. We weren't Catholics. We were evangelical Protestants. And I'll tell you, Si, that we had two. No, you start a business, you have a mission plan, you have a operational plan that you write out. We had one too when we got married. It had 2 points. Number one, we were going to show the world that a man and a woman could stay married for a lifetime and love each other till the end. Second, we were going to prove that we could raise kids that love Jesus Christ, that were good and obedient and wonderful kids. And praise the Lord, it worked. But it
yes,
wasn't.
Praise the Lord.
It wasn't by chance. I would say that there's a lot of grace of God, but it takes work. I have always viewed our family, and I did this all the way from when we were first married, as a big, as a beautiful artwork, a masterpiece. And you can imagine on my wall a big canvas, and every day I'm painting that. My wife and I are painting that major masterpiece that we want to someday display in heaven. Someday I want that masterpiece to be in the hall of artwork in heaven. And I want, when I'm painting that, the family, that's what it is. And it takes a lot of work to make a masterpiece. You don't just go splash paint on it and then walk away and watch the football game. To have a family that works in a relationship with your lover, and that's what I call my wife. She's my lover. Yeah, she's my best friend and my lover. But to do make it what we've done in 47 years takes a lot of work. And when you make a mistake, a painter, he goes back and fixes it. He repairs it. He says he's sorry to the painting, and he fixes what he made wrong. And over time, I want that masterpiece of our family to hang in the halls of heaven. And I say to my wife sometimes, and I said, you know, now that we've been married 47 years, our youngest daughter is 30 years old. Our oldest daughter is 44. We have 19 grandchildren. All our kids are happily married to wonderful spouses. And I say to my wife, Janet, as we're together, I said, you know, I think God looks down on our family. And I don't mean to brag, because it's all been by his grace, but I think he says this is the way it was supposed to be.
Beautiful.
It's supposed to be a man and a woman that stay married for a lifetime. They're committed to each other.
Yeah.
They don't run around. They are in love with each other still. And love now, when you are young, it's infatuation. And for a guy, it's, you know, it's very sexual. It's very, all this, you know, this just, you're bubbling inside with love and emotion. And but as you get older, that love matures. I wouldn't go back to the way I loved my wife when I was 22 or 23 for anything.
Right.
The love now is a mature love. It's deep and it's rich. And we understand each other. We have compromised many things to fit together well. We're opposites, but we work at it. It's an artwork. It's a piece of fine art, and it takes time. So I sit here saying it's by the grace of God, but it's also because we started out with biblical Christian principles, and we understood it, and we worked at it, and we cried over it sometimes when we failed, and we kept working at it. And so I think that's what God wants today. He wants to have people married that way, that he can look down and say, you know, I, this is what I want to see happen. Because there's so many today in the world that just are rejecting marriage. How many? There's like less than half the people getting married these days. They're having children out of wedlock. There are all kinds of disasters. We don't believe in polygamy, but we do believe in serial polygamy, one after the other.
And more, we probably believe in polygamy, too. That's where we're going. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Since it is Valentine's Day, can you give us a little bit on Valentine? How did Valentine get connected with this romantic day? And who is he?
Well, I don't think there's a lot known about him. And he was even removed from the general Roman calendar a while ago. But it's pretty much understood that there was a saint named Valentine who was a martyr in the 3rd century. And I really don't know that there's a lot. I know there's a lot of legends and such about him, but he is the patron of love, young people, happy marriages, Also, beekeepers, epilepsy, fainting, plagues, travelers, and engaged couples.
He's a busy guy.
Why all those things? I don't know. but it is a tradition that's stuck. And I know that there are legends and so on about it, but there's really not a lot of information about him.
The number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about loving your spouse. You have questions in that regard? Like some help? Like some advice? Like to know what the Christian faith has to say about that? 888-318-7884. Right back after this.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Do I lie down in green pastures? In Alabama? Are you kidding? It's itchy. I'm not lying down in green pastures. It's a metaphor. It's beautiful. Why did God put Psalm 23 in the Bible? It was to warm our hearts and inspire us with love for God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Our guest is Steve Ray. You can find him at CatholicConvert.com, CatholicConvert.com, if you want to do a pilgrimage with them on this Valentine's Day. We're talking about loving your spouse. And Steve, you're a great Bible scholar, and you can quote the Bible to us. And there's actually a connection between the gospel of Jesus Christ and the way we think about marriage today. We wouldn't think about marriage the way we think about it had Christ not come and taught us what he taught us about love.
Right. There's always been the concept of marriage in human civilization because that's what works. That's kind of built into us because God made us that way. But because of the fall and sin, humankind has never practiced it well. They've never lived it to its fullness. And in Christ, when it actually was raised to the level of a sacrament. That means that when a man says, I do, and a woman says, I do, that then there's grace that's made available for that. And I view grace, the sacraments, as like a big pipe going up into heaven. And when you are going to confession, it's, my wife says, even if you haven't sinned, nothing mortal, you know, let's go in and just get the grace. Let's confess that we don't love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and we want to. That's what I tell the priest a lot of times. Along with my sins, I want to be a holy man, and I want to love him with all my heart, soul, and my mind. And I know I haven't done that this month or whatever. And what happens is it's like this big pipe, and all of a sudden this grace just comes whoosh down and floods us.
Yeah.
And the seven sacraments are means of grace, and I told my kids that sacraments are like food. You have to have digestive juices to make food digest. I just had a nice sandwich before I came on with you. And if I don't have enzymes and stomach acid and all of those things that are necessary in my stomach, that food is just going to go out of me tomorrow and do me no good. And the sacraments also have a digestive juice that they need, and it's called faith. You say, at the Mass, what do we say? Body of Christ. Amen. That means so be it. I believe it. It's true. And when we go into confession, we confess our sins, and then we say the prayer at the end, and we are saying, I believe it. It's true. And that opens the floodgates of those sacraments. And if we're married, we said, I do. The sacrament actually is officiated when I say I do and my wife says I do. We're the ministers of that sacrament. And then that grace comes and we become one. And yet we're still individual people, but we have become in a covenant relationship one. It's not a contract. Contracts are things that two people make together and you keep them in place as long as it continues to work for each party, or as long as one party doesn't break the contract. A covenant is much different than that. I become one. We become one person, one soul in a sense. Two individuals still, yes, but through marriage and that union, we're covenant to one, just like God makes a covenant with us. It's a everlasting relationship. Somebody, I think it was Scott Hahn or somebody, said that a contract in these areas, a contract is like a man with a prostitute. You pay for a service for a period of time. A covenant is like a marriage where you are together for a lifetime, committed to each other. You don't just say, okay, it's not working, I don't love. How many popular songs are, I don't love you anymore, the love is gone, you know?
Right.
And so young people get the idea, well, as long as I have this feeling, I'm in love, and they try to keep the feeling going, but it has nothing to do with feelings. If the feelings are there, great. And I'll tell you, even 47 years later, I'm very emotionally in love with my wife. I watched her walk into the room even today, and I said, man, I love you. And you can still have that, but it doesn't. You have to work at that. You know, yep. You can't betray your spouse. You have to be faithful. You have to let them know. Communication, especially for men, we don't communicate so well. We grunt more than we do anything else. But we're known for grunting, and we have to learn to communicate and share.
Yeah, often a wife over many decades with a husband will make him finally realize that he does have feelings and that he can actually speak about those feelings. All right, let me ask you a practical question, Steve, since you've been married 47 years and you got all those kids and grandkids and all that stuff. What brings up the stress or creates the hostility in marriage? Because we do get to those points where the marriage really is stressed, or we might be hostile towards one another. So where does all that come from?
I think the primary overarching one is a lack of communication and compassion. My dad and mom always told me, be quick to say you're sorry. It'll make your life so much easier if you just learn to say you're sorry quick and to communicate. But I would say the three big things in a marriage that cause the problems are sex, kids, and money. Those are the three biggies. Men and women are wired differently for sexuality. And I know this is a family-friendly show, and we could do another one. I do a whole talk just on that for guys.
Yeah.
Because it's something we always say, how does a marriage stay together? Well, just pray a lot together. Well, that's all good and fine. But if you don't understand the sexual differences, and where men are kind of run by testosterone and women are run by the need for safety and they want to build a nest. And my wife has always told me the most romantic thing you can say to me is that you have eyes only for me. And when I go out on a trip, I said, when I'm gone, Janet, on this speaking tour, whatever, I'll have eyes only for you. And a woman wants the emotional security and safety and the love of a husband where she feels safe and she can build her nest. And if a husband understands the need of a wife for romance and safety, and she understands his testosterone a little bit, you can get along pretty well. You can make that work because we are different. God made us different.
Right.
And so sexuality is a thing. And, you know, guys, especially on Valentine's Day, we talk about the romance and so on, and we wonder why our wife doesn't have the same feelings for us as she did when we were younger. Well, I always ask, have you brushed your teeth today? Have you, you know, you used to put on cologne and you were romantic and you brought flowers. Do you do any of those things anymore? Do you expect you're going to come in without brushing your teeth and all the things that you used to do and put on cologne? And you think
I don't want to talk about this anymore, Steve. I don't want to talk about this. Hitting a little close to home there.
So that's Steve one. The sexuality is something that I think that is really is a problem in the understanding of the differences between the two. I know the other one is money. The money can always be a stressor. If you have one that spends too much or you get in debt, then you don't have the money to do what you need to do. And if somebody's gambling or something like that, I mean, then you really got a problem. But the whole issue of money is a serious problem. And then kids come along. See, your husband and a wife, they get married and they got themselves and they can have a bottle of wine on Friday. They can have quiet and peace. And all of a sudden, wah, 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 this kid's pooping his diapers. And husbands oftentimes can feel like the wife has left them for the baby, that they've not got competition. The husband's got competition for that, her wife's love and emotion and affection. And that is something I think that husbands struggle with at times, especially at the beginning. But that is a partnership. That is the fruit of the love. And it's a partnership they both have to do together. But I think in that position, the father has to take the leadership of the home. And I know that the whole feminist movement is going to tell me I'm crazy for this, but I've always, my dad did it and I practiced it and it worked out beautifully, is that I was the disciplinarian in the home. I took the charge of disciplining the children, meaning that they are not allowed to bring disruption into our home. So for example, I'd say to the kids, your mom and I were lovers long before you got here, and we're going to be lovers long after you're gone. And if you think I'm going to let you disrupt that while you're here for those few years, you've got another thing coming, buddy. It ain't going to happen. You're not going to disrupt what your mom and I have together. You're part of our family. We love you. Well, you love mom more than you love us, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. She's my partner, my companion, my covenant partner for life. You're our offspring. We love you. You're part of our life too, but not like your mom and I are. And you will never disrespect your mom. I think a father needs to maintain decorum in the home and discipline and peace. And he should, I always told my kids, this is the princess. She's the queen of the home. She's my girlfriend. Don't you ever raise your voice to her. Don't you ever say no to her. Don't you ever disrespect her, because if you do, you'll have me to deal with, and I'll be very consistent about that.
Yeah.
And even to this day, those four kids adore their mother. They just love her and respect her, because that's something you have to train them. They don't, kids will be disobedient and disrespectful if you let them, generally. But if you, a father steps up and he takes the fatherly role in the home, it can change everything. So if that's the kind of home you have, then the romance between a husband and a wife can still be there. It can still be maintained. It's not disrupted by kids just being totally screaming and thinking they own the family. They run the house. They don't. It's my house, my family.
But there is a kind of pretending in the modern world, and it's really the silliest pretending, but we insist upon it for whatever reason. We just won't let it go. And that pretending is that there is really no substantial difference. I mean, there's no essential difference between men and women, and that all of this is some kind of social program. And if you go into marriage thinking that, you're in for a world of trouble, because men and women are not the same. You know, we're the same in all the essences. You know, we're all made in the image and likeness of God. But other than that, we're quite different.
God made us complementary to each other. He didn't make us the same.
Yeah.
We're the same in the sense that we're flesh and blood, and like you said, made in the image of God, and there's neither male nor female in our relation, salvation with God and so on. But when it comes to the function of a marriage, the whole LGBT thing has it totally wrong.
Oh, yeah.
The whole feminist movement has it totally wrong.
Right. And don't you want to say to some people sometimes, like, stop being offended by reality. The reality is that you're different. And if you would, like, you were talking about the sexual difference between men and women. When you respect the difference, you can be helpful to one another. If you don't respect that difference, you're never going to understand each other.
But the world has said men are better than women, so women should all try to be like men.
Oh, well, yes, right. So there's a lie that precedes the lie that we're currently in. And that is a lie, that men are better than
women. The feminist movement has brought in a lie that it is demeaning to be pregnant and have children and to stay home with your children. It's a demeaning thing to do.
Right.
But I'll tell you, my mother stayed home with us, and it made a huge difference. I would not be the boy and the man I am today if my mom and dad had not functioned the way they had. My mom was there. My dad was there. And they functioned as mom and dad. They didn't function as, you know, lesbians or anything else. They were the same. They were the same in human parents, but they were different in their functions together. And I've always maintained that. My wife said when we got married, I want you to be the head of the home. I want you to lead the family. I want to be the nurturer. I want to raise the kids. But I want you to discipline them. And I want you to support me. And when you do that, the kids have a great respect then too. But I think the whole feminist movement in our country has lied to us. And I don't mind saying that.
It's clear that it's
all quite honest about it. Yeah. It's not anything that we should be embarrassed about. They should be embarrassed about it, because look at the results of their experiment and what it's done to families, what it's done to human beings and people. And look at the families where people have done the Christian principles, and you'll see a whole different result. It's not perfect. Of course not. Everybody's going to have a black sheep in the family. Nobody's going to have it perfect. We are flawed human beings. But if we follow the Christian principles as taught in the Catholic Church, we're going to be very much successful than the world outside.
The number here is 888-318-7884. We're talking about loving your spouse on this Valentine's Day. Turns out the Jesus Christ himself and the church that he founded has contributed a great deal to the development of marriage and the understanding of the fullness of what God intends for marriage. And yet some people caricature the whole thing by focusing on one line in St. Paul: wives, submit to your husbands.
Let's talk about that when we get back.
Oh, let's talk about that when we get back. And let's not hold back. And if you got a question, 888-318-7884.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kids' soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Matt Swaim here. Monday on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll discuss the real St. Valentine and continue our series on the Nicene Creed with Father John Gavin. Plus news, weather, sports, and more. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Steve Ray, our guest. It's St. Valentine's Day. The St. Valentine's Day. And so we're talking about love. And it certainly seems, it would seem from all the media that is produced everywhere, all the time, constantly, that everybody wants love. And it presents a lot of problems, at least if you believe what's on TV. But there is a divine plan for even natural love, you know, not just supernatural love, although one cannot be perfected without the other. But God has a plan for all of this, and he's kind of made the plan a little bit obvious in some ways. And then in the teaching of Jesus Christ, that plan is shown in all of its depth and beauty, not just hints, but expressed clearly. What God's plan for love is, and so that all of us will be loved from the moment of conception until the moment when we pass from this world. Steve Ray is here to talk with us about love on this St. Valentine's Day. Steve, I left with a little bit of a cliffhanger, and that is that it really bothers people in the modern world and really makes people think that Christianity is somehow anti-woman, even though there is nothing that has been more ennobling to families and to the role of women in family and in the world than the spread of Christianity. The impression is left that Christianity is somehow anti-woman because of this one line in St. Paul, "Wives, submit to your husbands."
Yes, it's in there, and I know when it's read at Mass, I cringe.
Do you?
Because I know how it's taken by folks.
Right.
And let's face it, it does say submit, but it says just if you start in Ephesians chapter 5, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Now, if we start saying God created us in a certain way to have a certain function, if you look at verse 21, it precedes that, it says we should be submitting to one another in reverence. So not, it's not just that a wife has to submit to her husband, but it's a husband. We all submit to one another. There's an attitude of submission, of compliance, of willing to work with each other, of not lording it over someone else. But Paul, the whole emphasis there is not on the wife respecting, or you could even say respecting or honoring her husband in a way. Husbands also should be submitting in the sense of also being compliant and working with and honoring. But the whole key to it is, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. If a husband would do for his wife what Christ does for the church, there would be no issue. Jesus did not tell the church to submit to him first. He didn't just come and say, "I want you to submit to me, and if you submit to me, I'll love you." He came and he totally gave his life for the church, whether she was going to submit to him or not, whether she was going to love him and honor him or not. He came while we were yet sinners. He died for us and he gave his life for us. And then he says, "Now, based on that, I would like to woo you to come alongside of me. Would you come alongside and be my bride?
Yeah.
Would you come alongside and be the mother of my children, so to speak? Would you come along? And have I earned you your respect? Have I earned your honor? I've laid my life down for you. And not only that, but I'll continue to lay down my life for you every day that you live. I will make you more important than myself." What woman's not going to want a man like that? A strong man, full of testosterone, ready to take care of her and love her and honor her and give his life for her? That's what that's what women want. Women never marry beneath themselves. They don't want to marry somebody who's wimpy and doesn't care and who's not going to defend them. Women, I'm talking in general terms, women, if you ask them, would love to have a man who would love them, lay his life down for them every day.
Yeah. It's interesting when you see this too, that people don't notice this until you point it out to them. But most religion practiced in most societies, even today, throughout the history of the world, are practiced primarily by men. Christianity is a religion of women. Christianity is a woman that is predominantly practiced by women, and we have to keep encouraging the men to stay around because, and this is connected to this idea of men laying down their lives for women. You tell me where you find that in any other religion or secular
Islam,
philosophy.
For example, and I know you get in trouble talking about Islam today, but in Islam, it's all about the man. And even what's the reward in heaven?
Yeah,
you can tell
women for
that.
Men,
72
right?
Virgins.
Yeah,
exactly. So Islam is not about the woman; it's about the man. But in Christianity, Paul, he dropped an atom bomb on the Roman world when he said there is neither male nor female, slave nor free, Greek nor Jew. That's an atomic bomb right there. But then there's another one in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where in that culture, the men basically, it was patriarchal, and they owned the wife. They owned the female. She was subservient to the man. Not the way Paul's talking about here, but they were. And Paul writes, and he says in 1 Corinthians 7, that women, do not withhold yourself romantically, or if you're talking, you know, we're talking sexuality here. Do not withhold yourself from your husband because he owns your body.
Which would have been very familiar to the Romans.
That's the way they thought. Yeah. Men have thought that way from the beginning. But here comes the atomic bomb. And men, do not withhold yourself from your wife because she owns your body.
Whoops. That's world changing right there. That's
an atomic bomb.
Yeah.
Nobody has ever said anything like that.
Right.
There's nowhere anybody said anything like that. That is a Christian principle that set Christianity apart from anything else. And it tells me, my wife, so what? Maybe my wife says, Steve, I want you to be the head of the home and discipline the children. I want to be the nurturer and be the nest maker. But at the same time, I am in a position in the family where my wife owns my body. She owns me. Why? Because we have a covenant together. It's not where one's the boss and one's the slave. It's where we're equals in Christ and we're bonded together. We each have our own functions to make that bond work together. I was in a little cultish church when my wife and I got married, and I ended up being one of the ones that break away and kind of brought the thing, kind of collapsed, because it was very cultish and they emphasized it was a book by Watchman Nee, that we used to read all Watchman Nee's books. It was a very fundamentalist guy from China, but he wrote that about, it was called Spiritual Authority was the title of the book, and it was all about authority. And this little cult emphasized that women were to submit. Yeah. Everything was submit, obey your husband. And I watched marriages blow to pieces out of that place. They just blew up. I, on the other hand, when the elders came to my house one time and said that my wife and I we needed to function more the way they were teaching, I says, get out of my house. I said, my wife and I are in love. We're partners. You're not going to come in my house and tell me how to run my house or what I'm going to do and how my wife and I are going to get along. I said, you're saying on one hand that I'm the authority of my home, but then you think you can come in and take the authority away from me and tell me what I have to do. I said, get out of my house. So instead of allowing that whole thing of a spiritual authority and the wife has to submit, blow our family apart, I defended my wife and I told them to get out of my house. And my wife respected that. But that was not the kind of authority that we're talking about in Paul's writing. We're talking primarily the man lays his life down for his wife. His wife owns his body, but he has to man up and be the man to earn that. He has to earn that respect from his wife. He can't just beat it out of her or demand it of her.
No.
It has to be earned, like Christ earned our love. We're laying our lives down for Christ because he first loved us.
The number's 888-318-7884. Karen in Boise, Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio. You are up next, Karen. Go ahead with your question or comment for Steve Ray.
Hi.
Hi, Karen.
Well, first of all, I would like to tell Steve Ray what he hears all the time, but I love that Footsteps to God series.
Well, thank you.
Oh, he doesn't. He's not going to hear it enough, though. Just hearing it all the time is not enough.
Okay.
You could say it any time, Karen.
Footprints of God videos. We've done nine of them, all filmed on location. The Footprints of God. Yeah. Thank you very much, Karen. It's reaffirming of what we've done.
Well, the Apostolic Fathers was the best of all, and I mean, they were all good, but that was top. As far as marriage, I have to say I agree with everything you guys are saying. You're awesome. With this little caveat, I've seen a lot of marriages come and go. In my lifetime, I'm not a spring chicken here. And I think that there's way too many women that are, maybe you can call them feminists or whatever, but goal-oriented. And I'm thinking of one in particular that, you know, set out her goal, go to college, get a job, get a husband, get two kids, get a house. Okay, I don't need you anymore. And I'm seeing that a lot. And then so many guys that are lost in porn.
Yeah.
And they really don't even know how that's destroying them and their wife and their kids. But the kids are the losers in a divorce.
Oh, amen to that. But you know what, Steve, because this is going to take a bit of time to suss all this out, because you've said some really important things, Karen. I better do this last break real quick. It'll take us just a few seconds. Karen, will you hang while we take the break, and we'll be right back to discuss what you just said?
Sure.
Okay, Steve Ray is our guest. We're talking about love on this Valentine's Day. 888-318-7884, the number, right back after this.
Catholic Answers Live with Steve! Today on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, "Why don't you air these people?" And I said, "No, because I don't think they're Catholic." He says, "By what right do you have to say that?" I said, "I own the network."
Mother Angelica Live Classics, tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Television and Radio.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Steve Ray is our guest. We're talking about love and St. Valentine's Day. We talk about romantic love, and we got the little cherubs shooting arrows at people's hearts. And it's we name it after St. Valentine. It's an interesting mix of pagan and Christian symbolism, but it's not like Christianity invented the idea of romantic love, but it's certainly the case that Jesus gave us the template for how to live out our love for our spouse in a way that is not just pleasant and enjoyable and passes the time well, but is salvific for us, for our children, and for the whole world. Karen's on the line from Boise, Idaho, talking about, one, women going into marriage as a kind of a goal-oriented thing. I want this, I want this, I want this. And then men being trapped in pornography. Steve, you take it any direction you want, and then we'll go back and get a response from Karen.
Well, I think that Karen's exactly right. Pornography is very pernicious, and it has the ability to destroy families and souls. And when I do men's conferences, I just tell them, especially you young guys, you are hardwired. Us guys are hardwired for pornography. That's just the way it is. And we have testosterone, and we're stimulated by sights and visual and such, much more so than women. And my wife, I said to her many times, I wish that you had testosterone like I do for 24 hours so you'd understand what us guys are like. And she said, I wish I did too. But the reality is that the devil and the world know our buttons, and they know how to push them.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced that every time a man gets an email that says, look at Miss Beautiful here, just click. Or you go by a magazine rack at an airport when your wife's not around, and you say no and walk away, all the angels in heaven rejoice because they understand what a victory that is for a man to do.
Right.
When I said earlier in the show, Cy, that I tell my wife the thing she loves the most is I say, I have eyes only for you. And especially if I'm going on a speaking engagement or somewhere else, she always goes with me. But if I'm only going away one night, she doesn't come with me, but she comes with me everywhere. And I always say to her that while I'm gone, I'm going to have eyes only for you. And she knows what that means. I'm not going to look at pornography. I'm not going to look at other women and think of them in place of you. I'm not going to do it. You're my wife. You're my lover. You're my girl. There's not a thing those girls have in pornography that you don't have, and you're the real deal. Now, a wife makes a big mistake, though, when she withholds herself from her husband or she gets cold or so on, because, boy, that just sets a man up. And I'm not saying that that doesn't make the man culpable. It does.
No, right.
But a wife understanding her husband's testosterone. Now, I do a whole talk on this. I mean, it's going to come off maybe skewed a little here by if we're just doing the short. But we need to understand each other's differences so that we can support. I say that the family is a holiness factory. It's where saints and holiness is made, both a husband and a wife and the kids, a holiness factory. And we need to cooperate and understand each other and know how we can complement each other. And I find it very easy to withdraw, I mean, to withstand pornography and so on, because I have a wife that's very loving and understands me, and I understand her, and we try to work together. And there's been times where we spent the whole evening, whole weekend together, just talking to try and understand how we each work so that we can work better together. And if a husband and wife's not doing that, they're going to have a problem.
Yep.
It's a matter where you have to. I said, when our 25th anniversary, we spent the whole weekend, I got rid of the kids. And we spent the whole weekend together. I got some good books about men and women and sexuality and the whole thing. We read them together and we discussed it and we cried together and we talked together. And it was one of the best weekends we've ever had, because we wanted to be communicating and how we understand. Now, some poor woman's out there right now saying, do you think my husband, I can't even talk to him about anything. He's not going to talk to me like that. Well, I understand that's there's a lot of lack of communication and problems. But back to the pornography thing, I think that a husband and a wife should be accountable to each other. If a man has tendencies towards that, which men do, they should be accountable. I said to my wife, ask me when I get home if I looked at pornography. Ask me if I won the battle.
Oh, wonderful.
For you.
Yeah. So, right. So there's a kind of accountability.
There's an accountability.
Yeah.
Now,
that's
I
wonderful.
Have confession. Confession's accountability. That's right. Where you get the victory too, with the grace. But a wife also can be a point of accountability. Now, if a guy's got a really bad problem, don't just walk in and drop it on your wife and crush her. I'm not saying that. But if you understand that a wife can be your first line of defense,
yeah,
she's there to. Paul says it's better to marry than to burn. What's he talking about? If you're going to be burning with passion, it's better to have a wife where you guys can have your passion together within. And Paul says in Hebrews, if Paul wrote Hebrews, that the marriage bed is undefiled. When you're together in your marriage bed, it's undefiled together. You can enjoy passion with one another and you can have a good time, but keep the passion together in your own bed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And and that's the problem, is men now, they have this, you can go in the quiet of your own room and you can click a button and you can see things there and nobody knows. And it's so exciting. It just, your blood pulses.
Right.
It's like going to watching a race or a car. I mean, it's just.
Yeah. And many of them were many of the young men today in their 20s and 30s, even they were 8 or 9 years old when they first saw this stuff on the internet. That's not fair what happened to them. That's not right what happened to them.
I can't
a society that
now,
allows that is.
Here we go. But this is off topic a little bit. But none of my 19 grandkids have gadgets.
Yeah.
They don't have iPhones and iPads and computers in their bedrooms or TVs.
Right.
They don't get a flip phone till they're 18 years old. Huh. And my grandkids are holy kids.
Karen, we went off in all kinds of directions here now, but did you want to add to what you were saying?
No, actually, I just love listening to you guys. You're both right, spot on. It's exactly what I'm thinking and what most of us think. We know that these young couples need to talk about this. If I was a young woman, if I suspected, and this is what I hear from a lot of young people, they suspect that he's watching porn. It's a hard subject to bring up, but if you can't bring that one up, then you can't talk about anything.
I wonder, though, if young women are being like really educated about what a man is. Like, I really think there's
a lot of lying
to young women about what to reasonably expect from a man. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I think you have to be honest. This is what you're doing when you're getting married. Don't trivialize what he's going through as a married man to you.
And I'd also say that we trivialize it sometimes, Cy, because when we talk about it, we just say a family that prays together stays together.
Yeah.
And if you're having problems, just start going to mass together. That's all right and good. But if you don't understand the differences between a man and a woman, and you're not dealing with the sexuality issues and the romance issues and the dealing with kids issues, you're not going to have a good marriage. It's not going to work. There's a lot of angles you have to come at. And you know what? None of us ever had to go to school and get a PhD in marriage to get married. We just jump into it and learn along the way. And many times that's a disaster. I was lucky. I had a mom and dad who loved each other. They were married for 73 years. And I had a good school. I watched them. They were Christians. My wife came from the same kind of family. So I'm in a way cheating. I'm here talking about our marriage, but I had a great upbringing that helped me with this. And I know a lot of people haven't. That's why we're doing a show like this, to maybe encourage people in the right direction and what to do.
I would say this, and I, to any man or woman struggling with pornography, Jesus heals, and he really does heal. We hear the stories all the time. There's not a man alive. Well, I shouldn't say there's not a man alive. We all have different experiences, but most men at some time have had to struggle for the chastity of, at the very least, just the custody of their eyes, learning to be disciplined.
And you got to go to confession, get a priest, become accountable to the priest. If it's not too bad of an addiction, get accountable to your wife as well. But eventually, doctor, the way I say this is there are two dogs within inside of us. There's the dog of holiness that wants to be holy. And there's the dog of lust and sin and testosterone that wants to just go for the sin. And those two dogs, they're fighting in us all the time. And I would ask a question, which dog is going to win? The dog that you feed the most.
Yeah. You got to feed that, right. You got to starve one and feed the other one.
Starve one.
Yeah. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you. I'm glad you guys are having this conversation. It's awesome.
Me too. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tom in South Carolina, listening to EWTN Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Glad to have you, Tom. Go ahead with your question for Steve. Hey, hi, Tom. Go ahead. Talk right into the phone. A little bit of a funky connection.
Okay. Si, it's a real pleasure to talk to you. I listen to you often. But I was watching Life on the Rock last night, and they had a young lady on there that has written a book about masturbation and pornography in the female sector.
Oh,
trust me, I know guys struggle with this, but it's ever more increasing in the female sector.
Right.
And I just wanted to kind of throw that in.
God bless you for saying that. Thank you, Tom.
And it's becoming more and more of an issue. And it's oftentimes because women are unfulfilled because they don't understand the man and the man. And pornography that guys watch is all about destroying, abusing, degrading a woman. And women don't like that. And if they get a man who thinks that, or like the movie, The 50 Shades of Grey, I didn't see that movie, but if they get in a relationship like that, women are going to then try to fulfill themselves apart from a marriage with a man or something. And they're going to look at pornography too. It's a result of the chaotic society that we're in. And I know that women are getting more involved in it as well.
We're traumatizing
and
children,
though,
too.
In both cases, it's wrong.
Yeah.
In both cases, it's wrong.
But I mean, you think about that little girl who's exposed to pornography. That's a terrible trauma for her as well.
It is.
To have things and situations sexualized that shouldn't have been for her, it's a terrible cruelty. I don't know how we're going to get out of this. Did she talk at all about that? This woman, Tom, about the young age at which girls are exposed to this?
She said the average age of introduction was 8.
Yeah, that's just, society can't survive that. At some point, we've got to stand up and say, stop it. It has to stop.
But the public schools today are introducing kids to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
At an early age, in elementary school. Nobody talked about that when I was in elementary school. That was my mom and dad's job.
But we got to help people get over the shame and the stigmatization. You know, it's a whole generation. We failed you. You didn't fail. We failed you. We were adults when this happened to you as children, and we shouldn't have allowed this. We've left you defenseless as children, and now you're struggling with these things. So you need to forgive us. Please do forgive us and accept the forgiveness and mercy of God and the healing of God. I want to say
the bottom line, I think, because I know we're running out of time, is husbands and wives, if you're married, make it work. It's worth every bit
Amen.
Of it. It's hard work. It's a piece of art. It's a holiness factory. Make it work. Be committed to it. Even if there's no feelings that go along with it, right? But you can work at that relationship. It's a covenant, and it pays off for you and for your husband. We can make each other holy by this relationship, and we can make our kids holy. And we have to be a good example for our kids. So if you're in a divorce situation or lost a spouse, Put it before God and live a holy life anyway, and pour out your life serving others.
Praise
Make
God.
Make Valentine's a day where you're loving others who need love. And then you'll find it yourself. So it's worth it. Love is everything in the Christian world.
And it's
I'm
worth
glad
it.
To be on here with the Cy. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. And thank you so much to your wife. The least shocking bit of news in the history of Catholic Answers today. Steve Ray has not seen 50 Shades of Grey. The least shocking revelation in our history. See you tomorrow, God willing, right here. Catholic Answers Live.